Begin the current daven, starts by Metzia, daf pei zayin. Begin on the second line down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara had mentioned what Rabbi Yechon and Masya had said in the Mishnah, where we're speaking about the title of this parak, Asercha Sapayla, when someone hires a worker. So there's certain requirements that's called Minig Medina. You have to do what everyone else does, including having to feed them. Now, Rabbi Yechon and Masya had told his son to hire workers, and he promised him he's going to feed them. And that he said, whoa, don't tell them that, because since they're the Bnei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, even the Suda Shleimah B'Shait is not going to be as much as Avraham Avinu fed his guests, which Gemara explained, because proportionally to the ratio of guests that he had, what he fed them was even more and greater than what Shleimah Melch had for his massive Sudas he had every single day for the entirety of the Jewish people. So once the Gemara introduced that Suda that Avraham made for his three guests, Parashat Vayera, so the Gemara continues with those Psukim over there. So the Gemara says, Ksib, it says in the Pasuk over there, Ve'ekhav pas lechem. Avraham Avinu told his three guests that I'm going to go and just get a piece of bread for you. Well, Ksib, and what does it say he did? Vel habakar retz Avraham. Avraham started running to the animal. He started bringing meat. Amir Rabbi Lazar, he says, Mikan, from here you see, Shetzadikim, they're righteous people like Avraham Avinu. They say a little bit, I'll just get you a piece of bread. And they do a lot. He brings a whole animal for each person to eat. Delicacies like tongue in mustard. Now, in contrast, wicked people say big, grandiose things that they're going to do, and they don't even do a little bit. No, where do we know this from? From Ephron. In the beginning it says, when he was willing to sell Ma'arsa Machpelah to Avraham Avinu, said, Eretz Arba Meir Shekel Kesef, a land that's worth 400 silver shkalim, as the puzzle there concludes, Beini Bein Chimahi, what's the big deal? You know, it's just 400 shkalim that you have to give me. Well, at the end, what does it say? V'yishma Avram el Ephron, Avram listened to Ephron, meaning what did he really end up asking for? V'yishkel Avram le Ephron, the sakesef ha-shadibi v'ezne m'necheis, that Avram Avinu weighed for Ephron the monies which he had spoken about in the ears of the other inhabitants of the people of Chais, Abba me'e shekel kesef oivel ha-seicher, not just 400 silver shkalim, but they are oivel ha-seicher, meaning that they're coins which are accepted in any single place. The le'shalka m'nei el kantari, that Ephron wasn't willing to take just any, rather, at regular 400 shkalim. So although he said big stuff like, yeah, I don't even need, what's the big deal, 400, and he said a big number, actually when it came time to getting paid from Avraham Avinu, he only took from them these kantar, which are these large shkalim, which are called centers, which are worth 100 mana each, because the ikaduch to the kar le'tikla kantira, there are places that call tikla, shekel, kantira, so he said a lot, and even a little he didn't do, because he, not only did he ask for the 400 silver shkalim, he asked for the ones that are universal, that can be used anywhere, which are worth much more than regular shkalim. So too, it says over there, k'siv kemach u'k'siv seilis. And the pasuk regarding the bread that he was bringing to the guest, on the one end it says regular flour, but it also says seilis, which is fine flour. So which one was it? So Amr Yitzchak, he says, mikan, from here we see, sha'isha tzori ineo ba'orichim yisim ne'ish. The woman is more begrudging with her eyes regarding what she's going to serve for the guests more than the man, because she said, let's give kemach, which is regular flour, and he said, let's give fine flour. And that's because the woman is more begrudging regarding the guest. Moreover, Ksiv, it says over there in the pasuk, Lushi va'asi ugas, that Avraham Avinu told Sarah, let's knead and make cakes for the guests. Now, Ksiv, but what does it say he ended up doing? It says, V'yika chema v'chalov v'navok, he took butter and milk and meat, v'ilalechem la'ais l'kameh, but never ended up bringing bread in front of them. So I'm Ephraim Makshah, who is the Tamidish Remeir, Mishmed Remeir, said Avraham Avinu oichel chulin b'tahara haya. Avraham Avinu only ate it, even his unconsecrated, his regular chulin bread, he only ate it b'tahara, not something that became tamid. Now v'sara imenu oisa yoyim pirsanida. Sara imenu that day began menstruating because she went back, like the pasuk says, of oich kanoshim, because she was becoming youthful again, because she was going to ultimately have a child, which first that a woman has to be menstruating. So that day she became a nida, and therefore that was metame, the dough, although it was chulin, but Avraham Avinu, even as chulin, he only ate tahara, and that's why they didn't serve the bread on that day. Now, Vayemrei love, and the guest said to Avraham Avinu, Ayisar Yishtecha, where is Sarah, your wife? Vayemrei, and he said, Hini b'hoel, behold, she's in the tent. Says the Gemara, La'idiya she'sari mein, it's nuhay. So the pasuk is teaching us that Sarah, our mother, was very modest, and therefore she wasn't out in the open for the guests. She was inside the house, not out in open for the public view. Now, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Vitam, and some say it was Rabbi Yitzchok, he says, actually, Yaitim hoye malach ha'esharas she'sari mein b'ayil ha'isa. The ministering angels knew that Sarah was in the tent. Elamai ba'ayil, So rather, what's this idea that they're bringing up that Avraham Avinu had to tell them that she's in the tent? Was kedei l'chaval baila, to endear her to her husband, to let him know, don't take for granted the wife that you have. She's more modest than all the other women who they're visible, and therefore we have to ask, where is your wife? Because she's not visible, to know that she's more modest than others, where even this elderly couple, there's an idea about increasing the love that a spouse has for the other, and that's where they brought up that he should appreciate the modest wife that he had. He says a different reason why they had asked where she is, although they knew where she was. It was so they could send her the kais of bracha, which has bracha in it, which is after birchas hamazon, they make birchas hamazon, that cup has bracha, therefore, when they bench, they wanted to give that to Sarah. Tana mishum Reb Yesi, lama nokud al ayur shebe elav. Why is it that in the word of elav that it says in there in the pasig, there's dots in the Sefer Torah on the word aleph, on the letters of aleph, yud, vav, besides the lamed? So why is it, what is that coming to indicate when it says that over there in the pasig where it says the word elav, vayemru elav, they said to him, ayur sari eshtecha, where is sari your wife? Why in the word elav does it have the dots? So lim de Torah derech eretz, because the Torah is coming to teach you derech eretz, which is the appropriate manner that a person should act. She yishol odem mechsan yishol, that a person should inquire regarding his host, in other words, that regarding his wife, of his host's wife. Now that's why the letters ayoy have the dots on them, where it's like saying, where is she? Because they didn't have to ask. They knew that she was in the tent. But with the dots on it, comes to say that those words are being used as a drasha, and it's coming to tell you that derech eretz, meaning actually a love, they're telling it to him, they're asking where you are, meaning in relation to your wife, they should inquire by him, as the Gemara actually will shortly clarify, regarding how his wife is doing. And that's appropriate to ask the husband about how his wife is. Now the Gemara asks, Va'amar Shmuel, but Shmuel says, Ein shayelim mishlem yishaklai. You're not supposed to inquire regarding a woman. It's not appropriate for a man to be inquiring regarding a woman. So the Gemara says, Aidei balashami. Through her husband, it's different. It's not because they're not inquiring to her how she's doing. Rather, asking the husband, how is the Giveret, how is the wife doing? That's appropriate that he should see that people care about him, which is the word elav, on the ayoy, where are you in regards to your wife? That's an appropriate thing to inquire about. Now the pasuk there says that Vatitzchak Sar Bekir Balema, that Sarah laughed in her innards saying, Achri Balaisi, after that have become worn out, Haixli Adna, I'm going to get youthful again? Meaning that when she heard the promise that she's going to have a child, she's like, what, I'm so old, how is that possible? Now Amar Rav Chizki, he interprets the pasuk, Achar Shen Nizbala HaBasar, after that the flesh has become worn out, for Rabba Kamot, and there's a lot of wrinkles. Nisadn HaBasar, then the flesh is going to become youthful, Nispashta Kamot, and then the wrinkles are going to smooth themselves out, V'chaz HaYifalim Kaimai, and that the beauty will come back to its place. She was laughing, she was surprised. Now Ksiv says in the pasuk that she said, V'adoyni Zaken, how is it possible, and my master, meaning my husband is old, how is it possible we have a child? Now, Uksiv, but however, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram that she said, Vani Zekanti, that Sarah said, and how is it possible for me to have a child that I'm old? The Lord Moisev HaKadosh Baruch Hu could come here, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not transmit to Avram Avinu actually what she said. As the Gemara brings the Tanur B'Shmuel, Kaldosh Shalom, how great is peace? Shafel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shinu Bayit. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the truth, which that's his seal, that's his essence, and he changed it because of peace. Because of the shalom bayis between Avram and his wife. Shneim like says in the pasuk, but Tizchik Sarah bekir bevugrima. Sarah laughed in the innards, etc. And she said, Vadeini zaken, and my master is old. How am I going to have a child? But it says in the pasuk, v'yim Hashem l'Avram bevugrima. Hashem said to Avram that she said, Vani zekanti, that I am old. Now it also says with the v'tayma that she said, Mi mile l'Avram, who's going to say to Avram, Hinik avonim Sarah? Who could imagine that people are going to start saying that Sarah nursed these children? So the Gemara says, Kama banim and nikasar. How many children did Sarah nurse? It was just one child. What's the plural of banim? So Amar Levi says as follows: Oisa yoim shagom l'Avram es Yitzchak benoy. That day that Avram weaned his son Yitzchak, asa sudi gedol. He made a great festive meal. Hayikol umayis ha'olam maran v'aymin. But all the nations of the world were murmuring and saying, Reisim zaken zekena. You see this old man, this old woman. Shehaviu asuvim in ashuk. They brought in this child that was gathered in from the street, who no one knows who he is, and whoever finds him could bring him into his house, like someone that child that was just orphaned on the street. And they say, "Bnei Nahu, it's our child." What do you mean? They're old people. They obviously didn't have this child. They probably found them somewhere and they said, oh, it's our child. Not only that, they're making a big party to fortify their claim, but we all know that it's a farce and they didn't have this child. So what did Rav Avinu do? He went and he invited all the great ones of the generation. And Sar Amenu invited their wives. And each one brought their child with her. And they didn't bring their wet nurse to nurse. And a miracle happened with Sarah, our mother. And her breasts opened up like two fountains. And she nursed all those children. Now, and again, that's the idea why it says banim. She was minika banim. She nursed all those children. Now, but vadayin hamiran ba'im. But still, the nations of the world don't want to let righteousness and miracles go unchecked. So, vadayin hamiran ba'im. They were still murmuring and saying, "Okay, im Sarah habas tishim shana teli. Even if Sarah, who's 90 years old, can give birth, Avram ben meyer shana yod. But Avram, who's 100 years old, you think he could go ahead and have a child?" Then it was at that time that another miracle happened, that the image of this face of Yitzchak changed, and he then looked just like his father Avram. So then all of them opened up and they said, which at the beginning of Parashas told us, Avram Yitzchak, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, because obviously we could tell from the face. Now, related to this idea, Ad Avram lohaya zikna. Until Avram, there was no elderliness. People didn't get old. They were just around on this world that many years. Now, man to have a boy le mishtoy b'had Avram. The problem was whoever wanted to speak with Avram, mishtoy b'had Yitzchak, would talk to Yitzchak because they looked the same. They're both grown and they didn't become old with white hair. They didn't become old. Now, b'had Yitzchak, mishtoy b'had Avram. Whoever wanted to talk with Yitzchak would end up speaking with Avram. Again, because they looked the same. As Avram, by Rachme, Avram came and he beseeched mercy that they should be able to tell a difference between him and his son, v'avazikna. And then there was becoming elderly. Shnamak, it says in the pasuk of Avram, Zokin Baba Yom, Avram became old, he came in his days. So to Ad Yaakov, until the days of Yaakov, there was no weakness. Asa Yaakov, Yaakov came and he beseeched mercy that there should be a weakness, meaning that a person should become weak before he dies, so that he could have time to command and give over his legacy to his children and give over directives to them. Shnamak says in the pasuk, "Vayimel Yosef, hine v'chachela." It was told to Yosef that behold, your father is sick, meaning he's on his deathbed. Ad asa Elisha, until Elisha came, loyav the cholish of itbach. There was no one who became sick and then became healed. Asa Elisha bayirachme v'itbach. Then came along Elisha. He beseeched mercy and he became healed from his illness. Shnamak says the pasuk, "Malachim beis," says, "V'Elisha chola eschol yasha yomas by." That Elisha became sick from the sickness that he ultimately died from. Cloud the inferences, the chalachli achriti, that there were other sicknesses that he became sick, which he didn't die from. As the Gemara says, turn around, within the Braisa, shlosh chaloin chal Elisha. There were three illnesses that Elisha became sick. Echad shadachofa le gichazi b'shtayyada. One was a punishment because he pushed away his attendant gichazi with two hands, which a person is not supposed to push away any Jew with two hands. You push away with the left hand, but you bring near with the right hand. And the other one was because he had incited the beards against the children who had bothered him. For that punishment, he became sick. And one was the one that he ultimately died from. Like we said, that's what everyone usually has now that becomes sick before they die. Like it says in the pasuk, but that he became sick from the sickness that he was ultimately going to die from. Now the Mishnah brought that we opened up this incident from the previous staff, that his son had hired workers and told him that he's going to feed them. His father said, no, you've told me you're going to feed them. If you promised them, that means to say that it's more than a minig of Medina, and you have to give them even more, which would be more than even Sudash Lim B'Shaita. So he told him, Ela Achle Yischilu B'Tinaikas, that, I skipped the line, went back. Ela Achle Yischilu B'Malacha, until they don't start doing their work yet. So then it's only just verbal, it's not even any commitments yet. Save Amalem, go and tell them, Amanasha in lechem alai ila pas bekitnes v'chulu, on the condition that you don't have on me a requirement of giving you more than just bread and legumes, etc. Now, on that, the Gemara asks as follows, Amalir of Acha Bereder of Yosef Lerav Chizda, pas kitnes tanan? What's the girsa in our Mishnah? Is it bread of bread legumes? That's the way it was said? A pas v'kitnes tanan? Or is it bread and legumes that the Mishnah says? Now, Taisa explains the Gemara's question, that it's obvious that Rabbi Yechanan said to his son to tell them that we only have to give them pas and kitnis. bread and legumes, and not bread of legumes, meaning legume bread, but rather the Gemara's question is, what does the Mishnah tell us? Does the Mishnah say pas kitnis? And still it would sound like, but even if you just tell a worker pas kitnis, it would mean bread that's eaten with legumes, and it doesn't mean legume bread. And the reason is because it's not normal for people to usually make bread out of legumes, out of beans. And the difference of this, la halacha, would be that if someone tells his workers, I'm going to give you a pas kitnis, he has to give him bread and legumes. Or maybe the girsa in that Mishnah is pas vikitnis, but if he tells them pas kitnis without a vav, then yes, it would sound like you have to give legume bread. So that's the question, not regarding the story, but regarding the halacha lemaisa, when is it that you have to give pas vikitnis? Is it when you say with a vav? Or even if you don't say with a vav, that pas kitnis doesn't mean legume bread, it would mean bread and legumes. So Amaleis, Rav Chizkiya responded, he says, well, Kim, which is a shvua, I swear, tzrich a vav, it needs a vav, meaning without a vav, you're right, it would mean pas kitnis. Ki mardia, like the piece of wood which the captain of the ship uses to distance the boat from the stones and from the things that get in the way by the water, deliveries, which is from this river liveries, meaning that just like it's obvious that that's used, so too you definitely have to say with a vav, because if you don't use with a vav, and you say, I'm giving you pas kitnis, it wouldn't mean bread and legumes, it would mean legume bread. Now the Mishnah concluded, Reb Shimon Gamliel, he says, no, ain't it tzarech. You don't have to tell them that I'm only going to give you pas and kitnis, because our kol kamin gamadin, everything goes according to the custom of the province, and since the minig is like this, you don't have to give him like more than sudish lema b'shaita. Now the Gemara is hakol lasu yemai. When he comes to say, why didn't he just say ain't it tzarech? Why does he say that everything is like the minig gamadin? Hakol lasu yemai, what's that coming to include? So the Gemara lasu yehoditnan is coming to include the following halacha brought in the brisa. Brisa says, if someone hires a worker, and he tells him, meaning the owner tells him, I'm going to hire you like ke'echadu kishnayim b'nei ha'ir, like one or two of the types of people that are in this city. So says he can give him the lowest wage that a worker gets, because he said like one or two people I would hire from the city, even if someone who gets minimum wage. They say no. You evaluate not too little, not too much, meaning when you said like one or two types of people that I'll take from the city, it means like the middle line of the Minig HaMedina. That's what Hakol Kamenag HaMedina is coming to include, meaning in the middle road of how much the wages usually are. That's how much a person who says, I'm going to hire you like Ke'echet Gishnem B'nei Eir has to give. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the halachas that we opened up the parak with the previous Mishnah of the halachas of workers, says the Mishnah of Elu and these workers, Oichlin, they eat from what they're working with, minatar, biblically. As Taisa says, that since in the previous Mishnah we spoke about workers that eat, either because you had promised them food or because that's the Minig HaMedina, so therefore this Mishnah talks about those that eat biblically, even if it's not the Minig HaMedina, and even if he didn't tell him he's going to, this is a biblical law, which are, if someone's working with something that's attached to the ground, at the time when the work is being concluded, meaning when you're starting to reap and take that, rip it off from the ground, at that time, if you're doing that work, that's when you're allowed to eat from that food that you're working with. Regarding something that was already detached from the ground, that's actually nigma malachta, that's only if it has not been concluded its work for the halachas of Meiser. Or let's say if it's something that would have the chiv of chala, until it's not concluded that there's the obligation of chala, which the understanding of the reasons of the halacha of the Mishnah is explained in the Gemara, which are learned out from Tzukim. Now, qualifies the Mishnah, ubedavish shegedulim in the arts. But these halachas are talking about only things that grow from the ground. So those are the two things, either something that's attached to the ground and when you're detaching it, or something that's already detached, but it doesn't yet have the chiv of maiser or chala yet. Says the Mishnah of Elo She'en Oichlim, and these are things that when the person's working on them as a worker, he cannot eat from them. It's the Oisa B'mechub L'Karka, if he's working with something that's attached to the ground, as a Ketin Tamid Beis, B'sho She'en Gema Malach, at a time when it's not the conclusion of the work of what it's attached to the ground. Meaning, even if you're detaching it now, but like as we'll see later on the Pitesa Medalv, for example, when he's weeding out the stunted onions, or although you're detaching it, but it's not the Gemar Malach, it's not the conclusion, it's just helping the rest grow, that wouldn't be allowed to eat from. And also, if you're working with something that's detached from the ground, when it was already concluded in its obligation of its chiyuv of ma'isa, already took effect. For example, as we see later on the Mishnah of Tzadikim Amid Aleph, when the dates were packaged together fell apart, and he's putting them back together again, we already had the chiyuv of ma'isa. If he's working with that, he's not allowed to eat from that those dates that he's working with. And ubedavish ingedulim in arts, something that doesn't grow from the ground, for example, someone that's milking an animal or turning it into cheese, those things he has no rights to eat from when he's working on it. So the Gemara asks, menonimili, where do we know this primary halacha that a worker eats, as we qualified from him, is something that's attached to the ground, or at least that it was attached to the ground, and now it could even be not, but whatever he's working with, if it's attached, then it's only when it's being detached, or when it's detached, if it's before chiv of meiser chal. So the Gemara says, like it says, the pasuk in Devar, says, ki savi bekerem ri'echa v'chalta, which this is the halacha that the pasuk is coming to say, when you come into your friend's vineyard, and you will eat the grapes, which the Gemara later on is going to darshan as toma by a worker, and the end of the pasuk says, "Velkelich aloi sitin," that but you can't put it into your pockets, into your cups, into your vessels, which sounds like rather you should be putting it into the vessels of the homeowner. So obviously, it's talking about at a time when you're concluding the work of it being attached, because now you're detaching it. So although you're allowed to eat from it, but you can't put it into your pockets, meaning into your bowls, but rather you should be putting it into the bowls of the owner. So that's the source of the halacha of. That has to be something that's mechub l'karka, and it's by the time of when it's being detached, when it's the gemar malacha. So ask the gemar, ashkechan kerem. So we have a source for a vineyard, that's what the pasuk is talking about. But kol mili minolin, how do you know it's by any type, which seemingly the Mishnah was talking about, a tree or any vegetation, that when you're detaching it, and that's the conclusion of the work, that you could eat from it. So the gemar says, gemin mekerem, when we learn it out from a vineyard. Ma kerem yuchad, just like a vineyard is distinct. That's davish yiduli karka, it's something that grows from the ground. And ubashas gemar malacha poilaychal bay, at the time when you're concluding the work, meaning when you're finally reaping it, that's when the worker could eat from it. So I've called davish yiduli karka, so to anything that grows from the ground, bashas gemar malacha, at the time when you're concluding the work, poilaychal bay, then the worker could eat from it. I think Mara asked, no, malakarim, maybe this halacha only applies to a vineyard where it has a different stringency that's unique to it, shekin chai ba'ilis. Where this halacha of that when the grapes are just a line, it doesn't have the full cluster yet, that the owner has to leave there for the poor people, it's a unique halacha in that. Maybe it's unique also in this idea that he has to let his workers eat from it. In contrast to other things which doesn't have that stringency, maybe he doesn't have to have the worker eat from it. So the Gemara says, you're right. So Gemini Mekama, we actually learn it from the next pasuk, where the Gemara is going to explain, we learn it from the standing grain. So the Gemara says, Kama Gufa Menolim, where do we know that standing grain itself, the worker is allowed to eat from it? The Chassid, like it says in the next pasuk, says kisave b'kamis riacha, that if you're going to come to the standing grain of your friend, v'katafta melilas biyadecha, and that you could tear off those granules with your hand. And the pasuk there says v'chemish leisonet, but you can't use your sickle to take it off. So obviously we're talking about a time when the sickle is used for it, when it's being reaped, that's when you're supposed to put it to the owner, and you can't put it, let's say, in your pocket, but you could eat it by hand when you're working on it. So therefore, that's where we learn everything else from it. But the Gemara asked, but malakama, how could you learn from standing grain? Shekin chayevas pachala. Where those are things that is an obligation, when you process it, it becomes obligated in hafrashas chala. How do you know it applies to all fruits and all other types of vegetation? As the Gemara explains, umimai dehai kama, how do we know that this pasuk is talking about the worker eating from the standing grain? Kama demes chayevas pachala. He's talking about specifically standing grain, which will ultimately, like the five types of grains, will turn into an obligation of chala. Says the Gemara, it's the questioner that's saying this idea, maybe it's any standing vegetation that the Torah holds that there's an obligation to let the worker eat from it, meaning even, let's say, something like rice, and therefore wouldn't necessarily have the stringency of chiyav chala, like rice doesn't have that, and therefore maybe would be able to learn everything from that. And that says the questioner, no. Because asi kama kama, again, it's the maksha that says, we have this zereshava, Therefore, we have this question to say that if the pasuk is only talking about a standing grain that has an obligation of challah, like the five types of dagan, so then you wouldn't know that regarding, let's say, flour from beans, of legumes. And therefore, then we're back to the question, how do we know all of the types of things? You can't learn from kerem because that has oilis. You can't learn from kama because it has a chiv of challah. How do we know that? Because learning gzeir shavah kama kama. Ksivach, it says over here in the pasuk by the worker eating from the standing grain, kisav v'bekamas re'echa. When you come to the standing crop of your friend, and you use the word kama. Uksiv Hasan is a different pasuk in Devarim, which is in Perek Tezayin pasuk Tes that talks about, says Shiva Shavuos Tisbalach, which count 7 weeks from the second day of Pesach. Mehochol Chemesh Bekama, from when the sickle starts being used against the standing crop, which that's a reference to the carbon oimer that's brought on the second day of Pesach, which comes from the barley which has a chiv of challah. So we see that it's Mehalcha chemesh b'kama, kama there is referring to, and then you count 7 weeks from then till Shavuos. So kama over there is referring to barley. Now, ma hasam kama de mechayev b'chala, just like over there you use the word kama, and it's referring to something that's obligated in chala, which barley is one of the chemishim in the dug and is chayev b'chala. So avhacha namik kama de mechayev b'chala. So here too, the Gezer Shabbat tells us where the worker could eat from it is to outstanding grain, which will be obligated in chala. So therefore, says the questioner, ikla mifrach, that we have a question. How can you learn all types of vegetation that the worker could eat from when he's detaching it, if maybe it only applies by kama, which has an obligation and the stringency of chala, so it will have the stringency that you have to let the worker eat from it. Maybe other types of vegetation not. Says the Gemara, you're right, kerem yichich. But a vineyard will disprove that, because kerem doesn't have an obligation of chala, and yet it has the obligation to let the worker eat from it, so to other things. But then says the Gemara, wait, malik kerem shekin chai ba'olas. But how can you learn from kerem? There has a stringency that those little grapes that are just hanging, that you have to leave that for the poor. Maybe that's why it also has the obligation of giving it to the workers when they're working on it. And that says the Gemara, no, kamatechiach. The standing grain will disprove that, where it doesn't have a chiyav in ayilas, and yet it still has the obligation to let the workers eat from it. V'chazadin, and then the logic goes back. Lay rizeh kirizeh. Each one, their stringencies are not unique. So therefore, you can't say that's the reason why you have the obligation to give it to the worker, because the other one doesn't have that variable. So you have to go with atzad hashavah shabhan. What's the common denominator amongst them? Shekindav shegeduli karka, both a vineyard and a grain field, are things that shegeduli karka, they grow from the ground. U'bishaz gemar malach, and at the time when you're finishing the work, payalechel bay, so the worker eats from it. Also, anything that grows from the ground, at the time when you're concluding the work, that's when the worker eats from it. And that the Gemara asks. But even if you learn from the common denominator, they both have a stringency, the common denominator, that you wouldn't know everything else to. Because both those things have stuff that are brought in the Mizbeach. Wine from the vineyard is brought as nesachim. Every day the libations are poured wine. And you have the seilis, the flour that's used for the menachis, which are brought every single day, which is from grain. And vasanam izayis. And so too, from that common denominator, you would learn out olives. This bitzad mezbeach, that also has a common denominator for that's brought on the mezbeach, which is the oil that's used in the menachis. But other types of trees and vegetation, you wouldn't know. Now the Gemara asks on this question one secondary thing, the zayis b'mat. Sad also, the Gemara says, what I mean? You would only know olives that you have to let the workers eat from it from a common denominator between the vineyard and the grain field? What do you need to learn from a drasha? It itself is called a kerem. Hu gufi kerem ikri. It itself is called a kerem. The chesiv, like it says, the pasuk in Shaftim says, vayivar migodish vad kama vad kerem zayis, that he destroyed from the grain to the standing grain till the kerem zayis, to the olive grove, to the olive kerem. So if kerem itself, it says in the pasuk, zayis itself is called a kerem. So why would you need to learn that from a ma'atzad? On that, Amar Papa says, no, kerem zayis ikri. An olive grove is called a kerem zayis, but kerem stomala ikri. It's not called a kerem itself. Kerem itself refers only to a vineyard. And therefore, since the pasuk uses only kerem, it would only say regarding a vineyard, I would only know zayis from a common denominator. But one thing says the Gemara, mukam makam kasha, but we're still back to the question. You wouldn't know all other types of vegetation. That even the common denominator would only say things like a zayis, which are brought in the mezbeach, but other things that are not, how would you know that the worker gets to eat from it? So Elam Shmuel, rather, he says, a different source for this halacha. Amakra. The pasuk says, the chermesh, and that the sickle, as we brought, where it says in the parakh of Gimel, pasuk of Vav and Devarim, which is in the second pasuk over there, what does that mean? L'rab is called ba'al chermesh, that comes to include anything that uses a sickle to detach it, which is really anything that grows. Now, the Gemara asks, v'hai chermesh mibayileh, but you can't use that word chermesh, the sickle, to say this halacha. You needed to teach a different halacha, that b'shas chermesh, only at the time when the sickle is being used, which is when the work is being concluded, what we call in the Mishnah, gemar malacha, that's when the worker could eat from it. Shalei b'shas chermesh lo teichel, but if it's not the time of the sickle, then the worker can't eat from it. So it can't be used to say that anything that uses a sickle for it, it's come and say that it's at the time of the sickle. Another Gemara says, no, ahu mevel kel yichol loisit nafka. That halacha, we know from the pasuk, it says, and that to your own vessels you cannot put it, as we mentioned before, and we'll later on darshan this, which tells you that at the time when it's being taken into vessels, you should be putting in the owner's, not in yours, so that we know it's at the time that the sickle is being used. So what does chermesh come to say? That anything that needs a sickle to be used. So the Gemara asks, okay, teinach devar chermesh. That would include things, let's say, like kidneys, like legumes, which you use a sickle to detach them. But the la bar chemish, but things that are not even used to detach with a sickle, for example, if someone that's taking off his olives or his dates, where they don't even detach it with a chemish, so minolon, where would you know those things from that the worker could eat from when he's detaching it? So Elam Rabbitzchak, rather Rabbitzchak says, I'm a crow kama. The pasuk says the standing crop. The rabbis call bali kama, which comes to include anything which stands, meaning that stands on the ground, which really includes everything. Every vegetation that comes out from the ground is called kama. So that's how you know it includes everything. That the Gemara asked, but va'amrit, but you said before, kama, kama de mechayev b'chali. You said that the word kama comes to tell us a different drasha, which we actually had used to ask before, which tells you gzeris shava. That actually kama tells to say that only something that is mechayev b'chala. How could you not use the word kama to include everything that grows from the ground? Says the Gemara, no, hani mili, when did we say that we were using this word kama actually to ask a question and to say that it does not include everything and it's only something that's chayv mechala? That's mikmei denesi chemish. That was before we had the word chemish, the sickle, which comes to include all things that use a sickle to detach them, like kidneys. Now, hashta da asi chemish, but now that we darshan this word chemish, so then we don't anymore have that gzeris shava to say that it's only something that's chayv mechala, because we're even including kidneys, which is not mechayv mechala. So we already have chemish that is rabbinically called the bar chemish, which includes anything that's used a sickle to detach, including kidneys. Va'avagav delay mechayev b'chala, even something that's not abogin echala. So kama lomali, so then what do you need kama for? Not for the gzera shava, because gzera shava would tell you only something that is mechayev b'chala, which would exclude kidneys, and kidneys being included. So must be l'rabbis called bali kama to include anything that really grows upward from the ground, which includes everything, including even those cases of zesim and tamar. Now the Gemara concludes, so if that's the source that we know that everything that grows in the ground is an obligation for the worker to be able to eat from it. So v'hashta d'nafkele mechemesh v'mekama. So now that we know everything, both from the word sickle and from the word standing crop, that anything that grows the worker could eat from. So kisavi b'kemre echa lomalis. And why do we need the previous pasuk that says that when the worker will come into the vineyard of your friend, that whole pasuk, why do we need to talk about a vineyard when we already know from the other pasuk everything that grows? So why don't you need a separate pasuk for a vineyard? So Rabbi says, you're right, that first pasuk is lehil chaisa, is for the halachas that each word comes to include. Now, the pasuk itself is the pasuk that we said is in pasuk havav, that has the word chermish and kamas. And we said from those two words, we really know everything. The previous pasuk, which the simple translation is, kisavi bekerem re'echa, when you're going to come into the vineyard of your friend, b'chalta anovim kenafshecha, and you'll eat grapes as your desire, savecha, that will satiate you, but don't put it into your vessels. You could just eat it, but you can't put it in your cups, in your bowls, in your pockets. Now, and that says, Rava, you're right. You don't need that for a separate pasuk of a vineyard, because the next pasuk, which talks about kamash re'echa and chermish, we know everything from there. So rather, it's to tell you, each word is coming to tell us a halacha regarding this halacha of the worker eating, because it's like Linda Price. Pasuk opens up by saying, kisavai, when he will come. Says the Brisa, Nemekan Bia. Here it says the term of coming in. V'nemelahalim, there's a pasuk in Devarim, some perich of Dal pasuk has vav, that opens up, on the day that a worker works for you, you should pay him that day. And it says that, loisavai olav hashemesh, you shouldn't wait till the sun comes down. So it uses the word tavai there also. Malahalim bepoila, kasam adabah, just like over there, the pasuk is talking about a worker, and he used the word tavai, afkan bepoila kasam adabah, the gzeris shava, here it used the word savai, comes to tell you that it's talking about the halacha of a worker. It's not just anyone who comes into his friend's vineyard could eat. It's talking about specifically, that's how we know, that's referring to the halacha of a worker. The next words in the pasuk are, that if he comes, bekerem re'echa, to the vineyard of your friend, that's when the pasuk concludes, that you're not allowed to put it into your vessel, you can't gather it all in your bowls. You could just eat from it as you're working. But the drasha is, that's only bekerem re'echa, but v'lei bekerem kuti, but not by a vineyard of a non-Jew, meaning by the vineyard of a non-Jew, you could even put it into your kelim when you're working from. Now the Gemara asks on this drasha, Hanich l'mandam, this is only good according to the opinion, which is a machlekes in Perek Gezel Machlam Baba Kamdav Kvigimel Medalev, that Gezel Kuti Asir, that to steal from a non-Jew is forbidden. So therefore, Hainu Ditzach Kro L'Mishri Pail, so therefore you would need a pasuk to permit that the worker, however, could take as much as he wants into his bowls. But l'mandam Gezel Kuti Muta, but according to the one who holds that you could even steal from a non-Jew, so Hashta Gezel Muta, so if to steal from a non-Jew is permitted, so Pail Mebaya, do you need a pasuk to say that the non-Jew, you could, when you're working for him, you could take into your bowl? Why would you need that? Even to steal, you could. So the Gemara says, you're right. According to that opinion, mukum lo bekerem re'echa, he would interpret that what's the drasha saying that this halacha applies to the vineyard of your friend, that v'loy shel hektish. But in contrast to by hektish, if you're working by the field of hektish, then you can't even eat. Forget about putting it into your vessels. By your friend, you could eat. By hektish, you can't even eat from as you're working. Then the pasuk continues, says v'achalta, and you will eat. That comes to tell you, but v'loy maitzes. But you can't just suck out the wine from the grape and spit out the seed. No, you have to eat the thing and not just suck it out. And then the next word in the pasuk says that you will eat anovim, grapes, which tells you v'loy anovim v'dava achar. Only the grapes, but not grapes and something else. In other words, you can't take your grapes and dip it into salt, which then sweetens it so that you're going to eat more. That's not allowed. You can only eat the thing itself. The next word in the pasuk is kenafshecha, which the drush is as if they are you, which the pasuk is saying, kenafshecha, like you yourself, which is that the worker is kenefesh al balabai, it's just like the soul, the person of the homeowner himself, kach nafshecha al pasuk, so too is the soul of the worker. What does that teach you? Ma nafshecha, just like you yourself. Aichul pater, the owner himself, what he could eat from his vineyard, and he's exempt from meiser because the work did not conclude yet for the obligation of meiser to start yet, because as the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Meisers, that it's only when the wine goes into the pit, when it was pressed, then the obligation of Chiyuv Meiser happens. But when you're eating from it as you're plucking your grapes from your vineyard, then you could eat from it and you're exempt from Meiser. Af nafshe shel poyel oich lepata, that's a drasha saying, ken nafshecha, just like the owner, so too is the worker, he could eat from the grapes and he's exempt from Meiser. Now the chiddush in that is that we don't say that since he's eating it as pay for the work that he's doing, against even the will of the homeowner, it's the Torah says he could eat from it, so then you would think it would be like a sale. It's like a mekach, it's acquisition. Now the halacha is actually that a sale obligates something in Maisri even if there was not a gemar malacha yet, because since you sell it, you're creating a chashivis, and that's what the pasuk's teaching you, that here it's not like a mekach, and the owner, although it's transitioning from the owner to him, he could eat it even without taking of Maisri if it wasn't yet the time of gemar malacha of Maisri. Next word in the pasuk is savecha, that you be satiated, but v'loy chilegas, you'll only allow to eat till you're satisfied, but not eating more than what's normal, meaning beyond when the person is already stuffed. And when it says the last words in the pasuk, v'alkeli chilesitin, that you can't put it into your bowls, which is b'shoshat neisin lekeli shabala bayis at the eichel, comes to teach you only at the time when you're working, when you're putting the stuff into the vessels of the homeowner, then you could eat. But if it's not at a time when you're putting it into the vessels of the honor, then you can't eat. So that's what it says, meaning to your own keli you cannot. Meaning, but you're putting it into the keli of the homeowner, that's when you're actually doing the actual work, that's when you can eat. But if you're not working at that moment, then you can't be eating from that. So you're right. The pasuk is not necessary for it to tell you regarding a karam, but each word in that pasuk is being used to tell us a halacha regarding this halacha that we mentioned in our Mishnah of the worker eating from the produce that he's working out in the field.